But I do know when God is extending stuff. I do know when God is stalling out. And He just kept on stretching that out for somebody. So, yeah. There's somebody in this room right now sitting there going, God, just hurry up. God, just hurry up. Just move on, God. He's not like that. He's not trying to do it to kill you. He's trying to draw you. He's trying to restore you. He's trying to make you whole. And nobody else can make you whole but Jesus. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm going to go as slow as I possibly can where somebody has the opportunity to let go. You ain't going to mess our church service up. We didn't come here to have church service. We come here to worship Jesus. If you came here to have church service, you're probably going to be disappointed. God wrecked me on this message. I went down to revival and I preached it and I came back. My wife usually asked me how'd it go and I said it was all right. And then I got asked Friday and Saturday, how was it? And I said it was all right. There was a click in my spirit that said go back and watch the film on what you preached. And I did some lazy preaching on Thursday. I tried to take the message this way when God was trying to take it that way. So I got down and I said, God, what do you want me to do with it? He goes, would you preach it the way I want you to preach it instead of the way you think I should preach it? The way you think I should have it going? I said, yeah, Lord. He said, if you'll sit down with me for about 25, 30 minutes, I'll show you some stuff that I want out. He said, the message is not a vehicle to get to another message. The message is in these verses. So I'm going to try to unpack this thing for you. And I want you to do something with it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. Are y'all seeing that? Saying, thy servant, the husband, is dead. Now thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. God said, take that woman and unpack her. He told me, don't bring up the fact about her husband right now, because if it was a father who had lived and the mother would have passed away, the father probably would have kept his mouth shut and tried to make it the best he could, and the boys would have probably been in slavery, and the daddy would have probably died of a heart attack or a stroke. Because the last thing we want to do is get real with God. Some of us men, what we try to do is we try to hold it in and try to control it as long as we can until the wheels fall off. And by that time, we're about ready to die or kill ourselves instead of going to God with how weak and insignificant we really are. And that's just us men. Because men, we'll sit around and we're like half dead and somebody say, how you doing? I'm all right. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about politics. But why don't we talk about what's going on with me spiritually between me and God? We got a whole nation dying and going to hell because daddies won't get a hold of God anymore. I'm being honest with you. The church has died spiritually with men. I'm being honest. You can be mad at me, want to or not, but praise God, we are the timidest generation ever. Men right now are afraid. We look like Adam in the garden. The wife is talking to Satan, and they're talking about what they're going to do and what they're going to eat and what they're going to go on, and we are standing there beside them, watching them going, we're not supposed to be here. But this woman made a plea. I like her, don't you? Look at this verse 4. It says, now that she cried to a certain, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. She made a scene. She made a scene. The church don't make a scene anymore. I mean, the rest of the world makes a scene over everything else. We won't get wrecked for Jesus. She went out there. You know what she was? She was a grieving woman. A grieving woman. If you don't know what grieving is, the right person hasn't passed away in your life yet. I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. She was a grieving woman. Her husband had passed away. I think the church is shoddy when it comes to funerals. You ain't got to agree with me. You say, what do you mean? I think the church should come along about a month after the funeral and overwhelm somebody with love. Wait about 2 months and show up to the widow's house. Wait about 2.5 months and show up to the house of somebody who's lost a loved one that they're grieving for. Because praise God, the funeral is great, but there's so much shock going on in the funeral, you don't even realize what you're going through. You don't even realize, you can't even believe you're having the conversations you're having. You can't believe the arrangements that you're making, and you sit there numb throughout the whole service. Can't believe you're burying the person that you love with everything that's in you. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, it hits you like a wave, and you're sitting there and you can't stop crying and you can't stop wondering how they went away. And then when you want to call them or talk to them or just hear them say, it's going to be all right. Her husband was gone, and she had a grieving heart. Man, I wish the church would get real sometimes. We come to church all the time, broken messes, but when we come in here, we act like everything's all right. There's been times when I'd love to pour myself out before God, but I thought, man, that'll just ruin how everything's going. And God says, well, you can just go out the same way you come in. I'm glad she got sick and tired of it. Went right out in the middle of the street. The man of God's passing by and said, hey, listen, everything ain't all right. I'm broke. My husband died, and I ain't going to get over it. My daddy died, and I ain't going to get over it. My mama died, and I ain't going to get over it. My kid died, and I ain't going to get over it. People died in my life, and I ain't going to get over it. My grandfather died, and I ain't going to get over it. My grandmother died, and I can't get over it. I can't catch my breath. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning, and I need some help. She's standing there looking vulnerable, but she's talking to the right person. See, we don't ever talk to the right person. We talk to ourselves. We talk inward instead of upward. I wrote down, she's a mother. Whew. A mother who's about to lose 2 boys. Goodness gracious, y'all are so... Y'all, man, I'm telling you right now. I just want to, for an illustration, I'd like to walk up right now and just slap one of your boys in the mouth. Right here in front of some of y'all. My goodness, I'd have a wife or a mother on top of me like an old messed up hen. And the daddy would have sat over there going, you should have never done that. Amen? Just go. I dare one. Just walk over and just slap that boy. You won't have to worry about me. Oh, Kevin, he's a big guy. You have to worry about 225 pounds of crazy all over you. She'll walk up one side and climb down the other. Amen? Well, so why don't we be real? Somebody said they're coming after her boys. Not only is she a grieving mother, she's a desperate mother. A grieving wife and a desperate mom. I wish we'd get desperate. That's one thing the church is missing today as well. A grieving mother over broken and sinful sons and daughters. I mean, they used to pray. I mean, man, I have heard so many drunken testimonies, drunken and high testimonies, who I was running on my last slide. I was running down the wrong road, and I could hear my mama praying. I would come home late at night, and the light would still be on, and she would pray me all the way into the bed. And I knew I didn't stand a chance. A praying mother. And if we have to go back far enough, how about a praying grandmother? Praise God, if the mamas can't get right, how about grandmothers get in there instead of taking care of all their problems? Why don't we go intercess before God? Amen? We'll raise their babies and house. Oh my God. Y'all don't have altar call now? Y'all gonna make me preach this whole thing. We'll do everything for them, but we won't intercess to God for them. God, get a hold of them. God, I got two, that's what she said, I got two sons, and they're both about to go be slaves. I need you. I wish we'd get some desperate mamas. You still trying to fix them. You still trying to fix the boy. You still trying to fix the girl. Don't you know that? Do you not remember how you were? Nobody fixed you but God. Y'all ain't sitting here because you had great inner parents that helped you. God finally showed up. God jumped in the mix. God went, hey, I'll rescue you. Finally, somebody got somewhere and prayed for you, and God honored the prayer. We act like we don't have the recipe anymore. We've gotten to a place in the church where we think, I wonder what worked. Had old-fashioned preaching? Had old-fashioned worship? Y'all ever seen that? Listen, I read the book of Job recently. You know what happened when Job, all 10 of his kids died and they destroyed everything he did? It said this, he put sackcloth and ashes on his body. He got down in the ashes, and the next word will blow you away. And he worshiped. Man, we think worship is a good place. Man, how about worshiping when you're down? I could preach you a whole message on Job. You know what? You know what he did with those ashes? You know what he was doing with those ashes? Everybody else thought, man, he's just tearing himself up. No, he was covering himself on the prayers that he prayed before. Can you cover yourself in stuff you did before God? Or do you just call him when you're in trouble? God, you know what he was saying? God, I was praising you when it was all good. If you'll ever study about Job, he's one of the most awesome people in the Bible. You know what he did? He got up every day and slaughtered 10 of his best animals because you know what he said? In case my boys and my girls ever go running from you, God, I want to worship for them. I'll put down a down payment on their behalf. When's the last time you got on your face before God and hammered out stuff between you and God for your kids? You talk about your kids and you complain about them and you worry about them, but praise God, why don't you get somebody involved who created the whole universe by just speaking it into existence? He's in charge. He made them in the womb. He knit them in the womb. He made, golly bum, Kevin, get on. We want to get out of here for lunch. I'm sorry. Probably ain't. Amen? If God knit them, He made them, amen? That means he put them in the womb. He designed them. And you know what he did? He designed them with the one piece missing that they would need. And he knew what it would take to get them back to him. Praise God. I'm glad God put that one thing in me that was missing. Amen? Tried to fill it with alcohol, drugs, women, lying, stealing, everything I could do. But guess what? It wouldn't suffice. And one day, clunk, whoa, the piece I've been missing, God said, I left it out when I made you. And you've been looking for it ever since. In the womb, you was missing a piece. But I gave it to you. Ain't that good? God, I got two sons that are about to go into slavery. God says, good. I'm good at this. I'm good at rescuing boys. Some of y'all are going, well, my boy's way off. No, he ain't. Not you might finish this in Gene. Not for my God. Oh, he's way over there. No, he ain't. God's standing right beside him. God's an all omnipresent God. Where you can't go, he can go. I like to think when you get in the scriptures, Jonah went running from God and he hid down at the bottom of the ship. Yeah, good luck with that. You've probably seen me. He was laying down there next, probably some cargo laid next to it and said, there's a good spot. And he got, you know, real comfortable, real squared in there. And all of a sudden, God leaned in, well, who are we hiding from? Huh? Who are we hiding from? I was trying to hide from you, God. She's in survival mode. Is there anybody here just in survival mode? I mean, You can tell somebody when they're desperate. See, when her husband died and her boys are about to go away, she ain't got no other plan. golly, I can't preach to men in here this morning. There's some. Have you ever, women, sometimes you get in a situation where you think, man, I don't know, I can't see the future. I don't know what, my husband's gone, boys are gone, are about to be gone. God, I don't know where this route will take me. See, a guy, we'll die in that right there. We'll just sit around and die. But a woman's been, no, I ain't going to die in this. I'm going to get desperate. If you want to fight, hey man, you can tell when a woman's about to fight when she takes her earrings out. Hey man. If you ever make an error, when you see her going like that, you have just about got hit. Hey man. If she's doing this number right here and she's putting them in her pocket or telling somebody to hold, you're in a fight. Hey man. She got desperate. And the devil said, I'm going to take everything you got. You ain't got no plan. You ain't got no future. You ain't got nothing. Instead of balling up and crying about it, she did what we need to do sometimes. All right, then, if you want to fight, then that's what it's going to be. Praise God. I was raised on a mountain. Praise God. And I ain't afraid to fight. Some of y'all are supposed to be mountain folk. You're supposed to be just a little tougher than most folk. But praise God, we've dilly-dallied so long in sin and so long in this world, we forgot how to be desperate anymore. We forgot how to come to the house of God and says, I don't care what you think, and I don't care what you think. I didn't come for you. I didn't get in this thing for you. I didn't come to church for you to see how good I look or how good I don't look. I came down here because me and God's got to get some things settled where me and him can fight the devil. It's that serious. She's in survival mode. She's trying to save everybody, but she's going to save herself too. Amen? I like that. I like that a lot. And then Elijah said unto her, man, this is going to be big right here. Y'all better get a hold of this. The whole reason I'm preaching this is this point right here. She told God through Elijah everything she was losing and everything she didn't have. Y'all ready? Listen to the power of a changed mind. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? I've never seen this in the whole time I've been preaching this. I tried to get it to go my way. And God, let me show you something, son. I said, okay. I sat down in daddy's lap and he showed me this last night. He said, you know what we did right there? You know what me and Elijah did? We changed her mind. Y'all are cool. Y'all are so cool. But sometimes God needs to change your mind. See, all she could think about is her husband dying and her boys going into prison or into slavery and her having no plan. So God is real cool. So what he did is when as soon as he spoke to her, he says, what do you want? Her mind, God. Mark, watch. You can sit there and think about everything that's going wrong, or you can get a hold of God and let him show you something that's going right. You can sit there and run the play. I ain't got no money. I can't do this. I can't do that. My kids is. You can run the whole thing out and say, I'm going under. I'm going to die. It ain't no good. I can't make it. I can't do it. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You know what God says? Hey, what do you want? just for a minute. Wait. All of a sudden she said, wait a minute. She went from the husband's gone, and all of a sudden she went from the boys are going into. She goes, wait. What do I do? What do I want? You think God makes mistakes when he asks questions. He don't. He's just trying to change our mind. Well, to be honest, I know it's crazy, but I would love to have my husband back. We don't tell God the real stuff. We tell him stuff like, oh, God, your will be done. Right? God, if you don't want me to have this healing, I don't want it. God, if you don't want me to have that car, I just want to drive it. I ain't talking about you. The best car. I'm talking about the car that runs. You already got a broke car. Why are you going to tell God you want it to be broke still? Never mind. I'm sorry. Y'all so spiritual looking at me. Have something break. You'll pray about it. Oh, God, I want my car to run, but if you don't want it to run, just let it stay broke. I'm getting used to walking. Why don't you go to him and say, God, you know what I want. I'm being honest with you. God, I'd love to have my husband back. I'm just going to be real with you. You're a big God. You could probably do it. But if I don't get my husband back, boy, I sure would like to keep my sons. I sure would like to be able to keep them out of slavery, out of bondage. I'm not their daddy, but I sure would like to see them have a good future. I know it's a radical thought, but God, I don't want them to grow up being a slave to somebody else. I would like them to be a servant to you. What do you want? Some of y'all need to answer that question before you leave here this morning. What do you want from God? You've been playing patty cake with him. You've just been telling him. You make him prayers. Oh, God, we're so grateful being here. Thank you, Lord, for that. You got your prayers memorized. When's the last time you spoke to him out of your real heart? When's the last time you poured out your real self? God, I'm mad. God, I'm angry. Some of y'all been so mad so long, you won't even tell nobody. Some of y'all been mad at people in the church, amen? You wonder why God don't ever give you a breakthrough. You don't ever wonder why God don't ever move you like he used to because you're so mad at somebody in the house of God, you won't get over it. Preaching, it's good preaching. We could have altar call 55 times already. Watch. What do you want? Watch this right here. What will it do for thee? Tell me what's in thine house. What do you want? And what do you have? You see it? I see I've been preaching this wrong for a long time. Not wrong, just different. Watch this right here. God, what do you want? Positive. What do you have? You told me what you don't have, and you told me what you're losing. What do you have? That's a positive if you didn't know. The power of a changed mind. All of a sudden, you're focusing on things you got. Amen? Her mind started running through her house. What do I have? I've told the negative. Some of y'all go to God. God, oh, this is hard. This is bad. This is terrible. Well, wait a minute. You got any blessings? If you start counting your blessings, you'll start worshiping. Amen? If you keep running your negative, you're going to be in trouble. But if every once in a while you just start running out on them, some of them blessings, you'll find God real quick. Amen? He just changed her mind. Ain't that... God was so good last night. Man, sometimes God's got to change my mind. If I'm not careful, I'll just start running off at the mouth and telling God why he ain't doing everything my way. And then I like that right there. Hey, what do you got? Is there any good thing left? Watch this right here. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. See, it was a jar, but I just want you to get this. Who left the oil? Daddy. Y'all like to call God Father, but Paul said Abba, Father. That means Daddy. When you get in love with him, you call him Daddy. Oh, come on, man. Y'all so spiritual. We get older. I got older, and every time I get around my dad, I'd say, hey, Dad, I love you. I'd say, hey, Dad, I love you. But today, he wasn't no longer going to be here. I said, Daddy, I love you. Took me all the way back down when I was 6 years old, 5 years old. Daddy. See, when I really get messed up, I fall on my face before God and just say, hey, Daddy, I can't do this without you. I can't do this anymore without you. I need you to get involved. And he will. Amen. What's in your house? See, Daddy left the oil. Mama made the plea. See what I'm saying? You fathers, you better leave a legacy of Jesus because this oil represents the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and the sacrificed blood of Jesus Christ. If you can leave your family a good inheritance, you can leave them a good legacy. But if you don't leave them Jesus, you failed. If they can't go in the house and say, Daddy left us Jesus in the house, you failed as a husband and a father. The wife, the only good thing she could think about, she goes, that husband of mine, he'd anoint people with that oil. He'd pray over that oil. We got some oil in the house. We got some Jesus. Now see, Jesus in the house, he'll get hid sometimes. Jesus in your life, He'll get hid. He'll get moved around, and you won't see him. Amen? Can I preach this a little bit right here? I'll just show you. Sometimes when the storm's really raging, Jesus will settle in the lowest part of the vessel. And see, if he don't think you need him or want him, it'll seem like Jesus is sleeping. And all heck will break loose in your life. And they worked and worked and worked. And finally, somebody, I always preach it this way. I wonder when Jesus went below. God, y'all see the scriptures like I see it, I see Jesus looking at them and just taking one step at a time right down to the bottom of the ship. Nobody even realized he was gone. We're bailing and failing, bailing and failing. How are we going to get out of 2020? What are we going to do? Can we have something like, I can't wait till we get back to normal. Oh, God, I don't want to get back to normal. I want to get back to Jesus. I don't want to get out of 2020. I want to get out what Jesus wants out of 2020. I hope he gets elected. I'm making my election sure. I want Jesus. I want him to reign in my life. That's what I want. The storms are raging, but where's Jesus at? Save the pot of oil. Then he said, go and borrow these vessels abroad of all these neighbors, even the empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out in all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. I love this. Big old fat vessels. I ain't looking at nobody. Big old round vessels. I'm trying to look down. I don't want nobody thinking I'm being smart. Big round vessels. Skinny vessels. I can look at y'all now. Yeah, I'm looking at you, skinny vessel, you. I hate skinny vessels. I'm skinny people. They do this right here. I just eat whatever I want to. I just can't gain a pound. Yeah, I hate your guts. Good to see you. I can look at your plate and gain 10 pounds. Amen? But God will he'll fill the skinny, the tall one. Where's old Chase at? He'll top Chase off. Amen? And the littlest one in here, the smallest one, the smallest child, he'll fill that vessel too. Amen? And everywhere in between. You know what? He'll even take the nice vessels. Now, come on, man. Y'all help me. Going to some houses, some place, they got these nice vases. They're made out of gold and silver and platinum. And they go, hey, y'all just stay with me just for about 20 more minutes. Danny said, all right, 15. You go in their house and you're desperate in the rich person's house and in the wealthy. Can I you got some flowers in that gold vase right there, and I seen some crystal, and I seen, like, in your china, the fine china. If you don't mind, God, y'all heard, I hate that. You don't mind? He said, open it up, people's chinas. You can't, that's my grandmama's crystal. Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to bring it back. I hope it don't scratch. You hear me? The good stuff. The ones you thought was good, and they probably ain't that good anyway. God said, go get them. In a white person's house, in a black person's house, in a brown person's house. Everybody's house, didn't care what they want. Then they went to that neighborhood is rough, you know, the rough neighborhood. And they walk in there, and you got any vessels? No, we ain't got nothing. Well, we do. Sharon, watch this. We got some old, my daddy, on the weekends, what he'll do is he rides around, and he puts them boys on the hood of the car, and they'll pick up cans on the side of the road. Y'all ain't ever lived unless you've been able to ride around and pick up cans in the country. Amen? That was my favorite Saturday. Amen? Riding on the front end of a Subaru doing about 50. I thought we was on Charlie's Hayride, and we're just hanging on. And we'd holler out, and we seen it's a batch of cans, and we'd have to hang on real tight because he'd slam the brakes on. We'd throw the cans in the bag, and we're riding again in the country. That's it, right? So, praise God. That's where I'm going with that. Them cans. You can have the cans. You probably won't want. No, golly, bum, man. Y'all ain't going to like this at all. You ain't going to like them. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Some of them cans are Coca-Cola cans, Pepsi cans. But they some old Budweiser's in there. They still got a little swish in the bottom of them. Hey, some people still got a little Budweiser in them this morning. God wants to fill that vessel too. Somebody, hey man, before you go, I forgot, we buried some vessels, some old glasses and stuff. They're in the garbage back there piled. When you're desperate, you don't care. My boys are on the line. She's back here pulling vessels out of the garbage pile. Pull them out of the murk and this one's got ashes on it. The man of God didn't say, get clean vessels. He just said, get vessels. They coming into the house, setting them on the table. Man, and look, it's kind of like church. Boy, they some pretty ones. And then they some other ones. Oh, crazy vessels. Don't know how to sit in here. They ain't never been in nowhere like this. But praise God, God's going to fill them up the same. And you won't be, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. You know what, God, but see what the difference is the fine vessels will be like, well, golly, I don't know what he wants to do with me, but I know it's going to be something because I'm somebody. And the half-empty beer can sitting over on the edge of the table just saying, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe they're going to put some. I've had poison in me my whole life. I don't even know how to be good. I've rode down back roads and hit out in bars and clubs. And I don't even know why they got me in here. But if he fills me up. Y'all let on. Y'all are so good at church. Because there's some people in here on the outside, they still like look like who they was. But on the inside, they feel with the same Jesus you got. Somebody every once in a while, let me see, you still got some scars on the outside of your body. Where'd you get them? Okay, it ain't scars, it's tattoos. Sorry. Sorry, Johnny. Sorry. Lamar, God couldn't fix outside. He didn't want to. He's just trying to get on the inside. He said, don't worry, the outside's going to fall off anyway. When you get that new glorified body, it's going to be pretty cool. Woo, man. Y'all glad you came to church this morning? Boy, I am. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I sure am. Amen. I will. Thank you, Rick. Rick gave me permission. Dana, I'm sorry. So we went from, they shut the door behind them, and her sons brought the vessels to her, and she poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. Do you notice God says shut the door? Some people have the door shut on them. You can't let everybody in. You can't, because there's going to be some people who's wanting to talk about this and want to talk about that. And let me give it to you the way God told me to preach it. Some people are going to tell that widow woman she's crazy. What are you doing? Have you ever had somebody spiritual call you and wonder what you're doing for Jesus? God tell you to do it. God got on you. God gave you a miracle. Amen. Okay, let me give you another point that God gave me. Watch this right here. The oil is natural. Is that true? The only thing that makes the oil, which is natural, special, is because God made a promise. Amen? And the person believed it. That's the gospel if you didn't know that. The blood, it's a physical. But when God says that same blood will save you from your sin, that made it special. That made it powerful. Then God says you have to put your trust and faith in that blood to make it work for you. See, the oil was a natural. The woman had faith that the oil and the promise was true. Oh, never mind. Amen? So when she got down to the end of it, somebody said, what are you doing with all them vessels? What are you going to do with them vessels? And listen, don't be mad at me, but sometimes I've had to shut the door on some people. Amen? Because some people who just question God and question what I'm doing, you shouldn't do this for God. That's radical. You ain't never going to make it. I had people say, you're crazy. You're going crazy, Kevin. You're going crazy for God. Guess what? I went crazy for the world most of my life. Going for crazy for God ain't no big deal to me. Listen, I've been crazy most of my life. So guess what? I said, excuse me, don't let this door hit you in the face because I'm going to shut it on you. Amen? And then you move over to the windows and you turn the blinds down because if you're not careful, them same spiritual giants will be looking in the window. What y'all doing with that? Sometimes you got to kick some people out. Amen? We ain't good at that church. We let somebody ruin our whole spiritual walk. We'll be mad when we show up and see them in the church. We'll be mad in their ministry. Be mad about them being here. And won't never say a word to them because, that's just not the right thing. Sometimes you got to say, I'm sorry, but this is just not for you. Me and God's about to do some. And then boys kept coming to Mama. Hey, Mama, I wonder how long, you know, the relationship with a mother and them children, it changes. Mama's crazy when you're 18. Come on, mamas, help me out. When your mama's about, when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, your mama's crazy. She don't know what she's talking about. She gets on your nerves. Daddy's half coherent. Amen? But mama's crazy, right? Until your life depends. Some of y'all, look, y'all so spiritual right now, but here in about 5 years, when life's hanging in a balance and you need somebody to fight for you, I guarantee you, you're going to call. You're going to say, Mama. Hey, Mama. I need somebody crazy. You can bring Dad too, but I'm going to have you down here. Amen? Because I know who's going to fight for me. Daddy, after he gets into it, he might pull the weight, but get out of my business. Don't you mind? Don't you just shut up. But my praise God, when you get in spiritual trouble, hey, Mama. How'd you do it? How'd you do it, Mama? Because I need you. I need you to pray through for me. I need you to pray with me. And if you can't do nothing else, Mama, can you just come down here and sit beside me? Sometimes a child, they don't need you to fix it all. They just need you to sit down before them and say, yeah, sis, I've been here too. Yes, I've made it out of this. Me and Jesus. And you will too. You and Jesus. Some of you young people right now, well, I'm doing my, yeah. Just remember, amen. Just remember. Them boys bringing them vessels in there to their mama. God, but them boys are like, man, I'm glad my mama got a hold of God. Like, they were about to go into slavery. They were going to be, and mama's just sitting there pouring that same vessel. That same, just pouring it in there, filling them up. Tall vessels, skinny vessels, yellow vessels, brown vessels, Budweiser vessels. Just filling them up. Got to the last one. That's it, Mama. You think that'll be enough? Well, we've done everything we could do. Have you done everything you can do? Done everything they could do. Do everything in their power. Guess what they did? Went back to God. Listen to this. And it came to pass, the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, the vessels are no more. And the oil stayed. The oil didn't stop until the last vessel was full. Jesus won't stop saving people until the last vessel's full. Hey, man, preach on, preacher. Watch this right here, though. Then she came and told the man of God. She's talking to God again. I wish you could see her. I wish you could see them boys. They're frazzled. Ain't slept in days. Sweat. Eyes bulging out. We look good on Sundays. She didn't look good. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been grieving, hurting, scared, fearful, anxiety, depression? You just stand there. You've done everything God. Donnie, you've done everything. Done it all. Every vessel's full. The oil, it lasted. Just like you said, I'm done. What else do I got to do? Nothing. You believed in the oil. You believed in the blood. You put your faith in action. Amen? All the vessels are full. Here's what he said. Go sell it. Pay all their debt. Has your debt been paid? Hey, Jill, come on. Hey, what's this right here? Hey, Phil. Do this. Sell it and your debt's been paid. My debt's been paid. I love that. Amen. Anybody else saved? Saved when you weren't supposed to be saved. Forgiven when you ain't supposed to be forgiven. And then he says something amazing. He said, and go and live on the rest. I'm glad I'm saved. I am. I'm glad I can shout about heaven, but I got enough to live on. How many of you got enough to live on? No, I mean, I'm talking about you get up every day and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but praise God, if he paid my sin debt, he can get me through the day. He can get me through the shift. He can get me through the hours. He can get me through the night. He can get me through the diagnosis. He can get me through the grief. He can get me through the pain. He can get me through the fear. He can get me through the anxiety. If he got me out of hell, my God. If he rescued my soul, he can get me out of my temporary situation. He's enough to live on. He's enough to live on. Let's all stand. If God's been dealing with your heart, come. There's enough in this message for you to come and talk to God about. Don't waste a moment. Step out and step on.